you, Pastor Ken. Once again, I'm very grateful to you for giving us this opportunity to come and speak to you, share our hearts, and share God's word with you this morning. Yes, as Pastor Ken said, we come from a very deeply troubled country. We sang a song about "My confidence is your faithfulness." Sometimes I wonder whether we can trust or whether we can have our confidence in God's faithfulness in times of trouble, in times of tragedy, like what happened in Sri Lanka. In single day, innocent people going into the house of the Lord to celebrate Easter, the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, were instantly killed. Over 350 people, children and women and men and women, and over 500 injured. And, you know, at a time like that, how do we find God? Now, Psalm 73, we see that Asaph, the man who is writing the song, he writes about why do good things happen to bad people? And Psalm 74 talks about why do bad things happen to good people? You know, these are some of the struggles, some of the questions that you and I, in our daily life, we struggle with. Today, I want to speak to you from Psalm 77, when God seems to forget. How can we find our hope and confidence in God? Now, before I do that, I want to bring you into our context, where I come from, the country that is deeply troubled and going through a very, very difficult time at this time, not knowing what to do. And even at this moment, our future is not sure, because we have highly corrupt political system and security is involved in some of these activities. It's a very, very difficult situation. So let us have a look at the little video clip, and then let me take you through the word of God.
It was a brutal, coordinated attack on a section of Sri Lankan life where many were praying for peace and hope for the future. The blast in this church, most likely a suicide bomber, destroyed the roof and ended the lives of many those attending an Easter Sunday service. The moment the bomb went off in another church, caught by a passing motorist on their dash cam. The bombers also targeted upmarket hotels. In this one in the centre of Colombo, the first floor restaurant was destroyed. The nationalities of those killed or injured is still unclear, but at the height of the tourist season, many foreign visitors are believed to be among the casualties. The explosions were almost simultaneous. The targets included churches and hotels in the capital Colombo, Negombo to the north, and Batticaloa on Sri Lanka's east coast. Later, two further blasts were confirmed at a guest house and another building in Colombo suburbs. Not since the civil war involving the Tamil Tigers has the country suffered such lethal violence. The bombers struck when the country's Christians, they are a minority, but still there are over a million of them, were celebrating Mass on one of their most holy days in the calendar. Their spiritual leader was strong in his condemnation.
I asked the government to hold a very impartial, strong inquiry and find out who is responsible behind this act, and also to punish them mercilessly, because only animals can behave like that.
The government says they are close to identifying those responsible.
The CID, the police, and the three forces are doing all the investigations. We believe that all the culprits who have been involved in this unfortunate terrorist incident will be taken into custody as soon as possible. They have been identified and they are taking the necessary investigation, and they will be taken into custody as soon as possible.
Armed troops have stormed a building in Colombo. No group has yet said it carried out the attacks, but a number of arrests have already been made. The government has imposed a 12-hour curfew, which is now in force, and cut off access to many social media sites as part of their emergency measures.
So how can we find confidence in God, in a faithful God, at times like this? You know, the whole country is in a turmoil, and we do not know why this happened. And how can we keep our focus on God at times of sorrow and pain? Let us focus our attention on Psalm 77. You have your handouts. And when God seems to forget, how can we find confidence in Him? And how can we, as a church, minister to those people who are dealing with doubt, who are going through sorrow, who are going through grief, and who are going through struggles in spiritual matters? And how can we help people to look to God when they doubt God in times of tragedy and trauma? As you and I know, when tragedy and trauma hits, all we do is doubt. Doubt the faithfulness of God. Doubt the goodness of God. And doubt the power of God sometimes. But what will the society think at the same time when they see, we as Christians are able to rejoice in times of trouble, in times of tragedy, when we are able to forgive? Now, although this video doesn't show it, you know, the cardinal later on, he says, we chose to forgive. And as a nation, we chose to forgive the perpetrators. And that is so powerful that Christianity, which was marginalized and harassed in many occasions, are now beginning to come to light that Christians are better citizens of the country. So the tragedy hits sometimes and we don't know. Sometimes the thing is, there is an understanding that life will be perfect when we are in perfect relationship with God. We think so. Life will be perfect when we are in perfect relationship with God, and life will be complicated and troublesome when we are not in good relationship with God. We assume so. We think like that. We tend to measure our spirituality, whether we are spiritual or not, by the level of trouble, by the level of problems that we have. Now, if you read this psalm, the author is Asaph or Asaph, was a spiritual leader who committed his life to worship God day and night. We had a wonderful worship team leading worship, and I really enjoyed the singing, the worship they did, and it really drove us closer to God. And similarly, this man, Asaph, was a spiritual leader. He was going through a deep, deep trouble, as you can see later on as we read the scripture. Now, what do we do when we face deep problems in life? I don't know how many of you have gone through deep problems in life. I have gone through, and we are already going through. We do not know what our future holds. We do not know exactly, because our security system is not really reliable. And even as a church, when we gather, we have no security. We have no safety. And we need to learn to look away from our circumstances, and we need to learn to focus on God. We need to learn to focus on God. This Psalms is what it teaches. This Psalm 77 teaches us that we need to look beyond our circumstances, beyond our problem. We see five main points, I believe, will teach us important lessons as we go through difficult times in life. First thing we need to know is that there is no respect of persons with circumstances, problems, and tragedies. There is no respect of persons with circumstances, problems, and tragedies. When they come, they don't look at our spiritual status. They don't look at our socio-economic status. It comes. Because in Job chapter 5, we read, "For hardship does not spring from the soil, nor does trouble sprout from the ground. Yet man, or the humankind, is born to trouble as surely as sparks fly upwards. That is the reality of life as the scripture describes. Regardless of socio-economic status, regardless of a spiritual status that you have, the problems will come. Whether you are spiritual or not, whether you are socially or economically strong or not, problems will come. And we see that Asaph, when you look at his position in life, he was a music director in the temple. He was a songwriter. He was a music director, worship leader in the temple, and a well-known worship leader and director of music in the temple. But the writer finds himself in a desperate situation as he writes this song. We are not able to exactly know what his exact problem is. It is an unspecified problem. But one thing we do know is that he was going through a deep, deep problem. Very deep problem. We only know that he was caught up in a desperate situation. He was a spiritual leader, well accomplished in life, but he had to face some kind of tragedy in life. He cried out to God for help. In Psalm 77, verse 1 to 2, it says, "I cried out to God for help. I cried out to God for help. I cried out to God to hear me. When I was in distress, I sought the Lord. At night, I stretched out untiring hands. Nights are supposed to be sleeping. But here is a man who was going through trouble sometime, and he was stretching his arms in the presence of the Lord in a desperate situation, and he says, I would not be comforted. I would not be comforted." There are lots of hundreds and thousands of people in Sri Lanka. They are not being comforted at this time. This appeared to be an extremely trying moment for the writer. It was also very taxing because it went on and on. He didn't seem to have an end to his problem. Asaph prayed, it says, day and night he was praying. He seems to have prayed with uplifted hands as a sign of utter dependency on God. And yet, he says, I was not comforted. So the second point, it leads to second point where it says, focusing on problems will eventually lead to self-pity and self-justification. When we focus on problems, when we overemphasize problems in our lives, it eventually leads to self-pity and self-justification. See how many references in this Bible, in this Psalm, how many references to personal pronoun, I, my, me, from verse 1 to 9. Depending on the translation you use, there are over 17 uses of personal pronoun from verse 1 to 9. In some Bibles, there are 21. There are implicated personal pronouns in the verse. In this, it says, I cried to God for help. I cried to God for help. I cried to God to hear me. When I was in distress, when I was in distress, I sought the Lord. Then, at night, I stretched out my hands and I would not be comforted. I remembered you, God, and I groaned. I meditated and my spirit grew faint. You kept my eyes from closing. It is all about I, me, and my. When we focus on problems, it is all about my right, my problem, my concern, my pain, my sorrow. It's all about me and my and myself. I was too troubled to speak. I thought about former days. I remembered my songs, all about I and my, from verse 1 to 9. And he goes on and on. And he was focusing, he was feeling self-pity. I wrote songs, I sang, I trusted the Lord, and it's all about me. And that leads to our third point. Focusing on problems and self will raise many questions in, and it distorts our perception of God. When you focus on problems and self, it will raise many questions, and it distorts our perception of God. That is what we see from verse 7, 8, and 9. The psalmist seems to be attempting many things to find relief from his desperate situation. First, he is reflecting on happy times. Sometimes we might do in times of difficulties, what we need to do is think about some of the happy times we had when he knew the Lord's favor. Sometimes we think of, it is easy for us to think of happy times when we experience the favor of the Lord all the time. Second, he begins to raise questions within himself. In this process, he began to ask the question, the big question, why? We all ask that question. How many of us ask that question, why? We in Sri Lanka, we ask the question, why? Why on Easter Day? Why people died when they were worshiping God? God who is ruling the entire universe. Why? If God could act on his behalf in the former times, why doesn't he do it now? Why? If he has done so much in the past, why not now? Why does God seem to be so reluctant? Why is he unwilling to help me now? How many of us have that? Ask that question. Why now? What happened to God now? Asaph is even wondering if God is suffering from amnesia. He says, has God forgotten? Amnesia is, as we know, is a deficit in memory caused by brain damage. God would have had a brain damage. So he seems to have forgotten. Look at the number of questions he's asking from verse 7 to verse 9. Will the Lord reject forever? Will the Lord reject forever? Will he never show his favor again? Will he never show his favor again? Has his unfailing love vanished forever? Now this is a silly question. Has his unfailing love vanished forever? What a silly question to ask in times of when we are emotionally charged. Yes, we ask all kinds of silly questions. If it is unfailing love, how can it vanish forever? He's asking, your unfailing love, has it vanished forever? If the love is unfailing, it is unfailing. No matter what happens, it is unfailing. But he's asking question, has his unfailing love vanished forever? Has his promise failed for all time? For all time. Sometimes we think promises are only for sometimes. So he thinks like that. So his promises are not applicable for all times. Has God forgotten to be merciful? Is God suffering from amnesia? Has he forgotten to be merciful? Has he in anger withheld his compassion? He says God in anger has withheld his compassion. Now don't we do that when we are anger? We withhold compassion. When we are angry in a family situation, in a work situation, when somebody comes from help, we reject. We say, please go away, don't come. We just reject being merciful. We cannot be merciful when we are. So he's interpreting God from human perspectives. Has God in anger withheld his compassion? Has God forgotten how to be loving? You know, God is love. So he asks the question, has God forgotten how to be loving? It's a human interpretation. Sometimes we forget how to be loving. We become sometimes ruthless and angry, and you know, sometimes when we are emotionally charged, angry, we forget to show compassion, we forget to show love. Merciful, compassionate. David asked the same question, how long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How many of us have asked these questions in life? Many a times. I have asked. Now, when I was the one who was closing the service on Sunday when this tragedy hit. And my son came and whispered to me, our churches are being hit. Our church in Batticolo, it is one of our branch churches in which I am serving as a pastor and an elder of the church. One of our branch church in Batticolo was hit. I couldn't close the service. I was so emotionally disturbed. And I immediately, good and bad of technology. I immediately Googled to see what really happened, and it was terrible to see some of the pictures were already posted in the Google. And when I went to close the service, I just couldn't do it. I just couldn't do it. And we asked question, how long? Why? Why this happened on Easter Day? And in times of fourth point, the point number four, in times of desperation, it is natural to try out various possibilities. It is very natural to try out various possibilities in order to find relief. We can even scold God. We can even blame God for everything. Psalmist is focusing on self. He's thinking of his good old days. He's starting meditating. And sometimes, you know, in this part of the world, and some people in our part of the world also do that, when they are hit by a tragedy, they try out yoga, meditation. I'm not encouraging that, but we have a better option than practicing yoga. Because it can give you a temporary relief, but it will never give you eternal relief. We think of our past. We think of our past. He was thinking of his own song that he composed. He says, I remembered my song, verse 6. I remembered my song in the night. He was looking for different options, different possibilities. My heart meditated and my spirit asked questions. He started questioning, he started doubting, he started thinking, he started even meditating. Every possible thing he was trying to find his way out of this trouble. Sometimes we do the same. We try out many possibilities when we go through troubles, when we go through difficulties. Will the Lord reject me forever? Will he never show his favor again? Has his unfailing love vanished forever? So these are some of the questions we ask. Has God in anger withheld his compassion? As human beings, I have done it several times. Even when children come to me, when I am disturbed, when I am really angry, or when I am hit by some problem, even if a child comes for a simple help, I say, please, please keep away from me. Keep away from me. We forget sometimes to show compassion. So we think of God the same way as a human being. So at such desperate times, we feel that our problem is greater than God's greatness and goodness. We forget. As human beings, in desperate times, we feel our problem is greater and bigger than God's goodness and his love and his power, his greatness. When we are emotionally charged, we interpret everything from our emotional perspective. When we are emotionally charged. Emotions are okay. I will share with you a little later. Emotions are fine. They're all good. Good venues. It creates good venues and good opportunities for learning. Emotions are okay. When we are emotionally charged, we interpret everything from our emotional perspective. That leads to the final point. We must learn to look beyond our circumstances and our problems. We must learn as Christians to look at situations beyond our problems, beyond our circumstances. Learn to look to God beyond our problems. We see that in verse 10 onwards. He says, then I thought. After all this emotional charge he has gone through, after all questionings, he says, verse 10, then I thought. In life's crucial times, there are certain things that give us guidance. You know, when we go through a very crucial time in life, there are so many things, so many options that come on our way to provide us guidance. There are friends who will counsel us, who will give us guidance. There are relatives who give us guidance. And there are family members who will give us guidance in times of tragedy or difficulties. And then there is also our emotion that will guide us through that problem. But what about wisdom? What about thinking? So this is where the psalmist says, then I thought. Then I thought. Proverbs chapter 5, chapter 4, chapter 6, you know, most of the Proverbs talk about importance of wisdom and understanding. In this section, we see how knowledge and understanding should take over our emotions. Our knowledge and our understanding, our wisdom should take over emotions sometimes. Verse 10 says, then I thought. Then I thought. In previous section, Asaph's perspective and understanding was totally unbalanced. Totally unbalanced. He was focusing too much upon himself and too much upon his problems and not enough upon God. Not enough upon God. He focused on his personal pronoun about 21 times, I said. But on God about 11 times. But from verse 10 onwards, you can see the switch. You can see the change in his attitude. There are about 3 references to personal pronoun, and there are about 24 mentions about God. So his perspective changed when he began to apply critical thinking and reasoning into the situation. The right spiritual balance seems to have been restored after thinking, proper thinking. Now Asaph centers his thinking upon God, who can perform miracles and do mighty deeds. You know, God who created the entire universe. In Psalm 90, we see God is our dwelling place forever. It doesn't matter what happens to us. God is our dwelling place forever. So forever, he's our dwelling place. Canada is not my dwelling place. I am here temporarily. I will be gone on the 21st night of May. This is not my dwelling place. But this is not anybody's dwelling place. The Bible says, God is my dwelling place forever. And in Psalm 73 it says, God is my portion forever. God is my portion forever. So now Asaph centers his thinking upon God who can perform miracles and do mighty deeds. He's thinking about that God is holy. You can see in verse 13, your ways, O God, are holy. Now holiness of God is a powerful concept to think about. Your country, when I say your country, Canada, West, including America, and Europe was founded in the idea of the holiness of God. You know, your moral values, your economy, your family values. You know, who we Sri Lankans never had a value of family. We took women and we threw them away. But who brought up the value of family? The missionaries. The Christianity. So your values were founded. Family values, moral values, economic values, rationality, even the understanding of humanity, that humans are made in the image of God, was all founded in the concept of the holiness of God. Although Western Europe, to a certain extent, has kicked God out of the window, and we know what is going on because God is out of the norms in life, we know where you are heading now. I mean, I don't have to explain to you. Our country was never founded in the holiness of God. So that is why we are still struggling with corruption, with evil, with sin, with all kinds of evil that is happening. This country is founded on the understanding of the holiness of God. We should never forget that. We should never forget that this nation was founded in the understanding of the holiness of God. Your values, your economy, your family, you know, everything else was founded. I have no time to elaborate on that, but you know better than that, better than what I know about your history. So God is greater than our problems. God is greater than, He is holy. He is holy in love. He is holy in justice. He is holy in everything that He does. He is holy. We cannot limit God to our emotional feelings. God is not irrational, but He is non-rational. You cannot rationalize God. He is not irrational, but you cannot bring God into your reasoning system because He is beyond everything. He is holy. He is holy. He is beyond our understanding. We must look beyond and see what God has done in the past. He exactly knew that, you know, God has redeemed us in the past. Look at the communion. As we partake of the Lord's table, what do we think? We think of our Christian past. What God has done in and through our Lord Jesus Christ. If God so loved the world that He gave, why are we questioning God now? If He has given so much, you know, to give a son, I have two boys and two girls. I wouldn't give a single person, if somebody asked me that, can your son die for this, you know, I wouldn't do that. But we have a God who didn't spare His own son, and He let Him die a cruel death for you and me. So think of the past. So Asaph is thinking of the past, how God has done, what God has done, the way He has redeemed us, even through the Egyptian bondage to the promised land. He's beginning to think about all this. In this section, Asaph is recognizing from verse 10 onwards, recognizing a wonderful character of God. He is fearful as an enemy and glorious as a friend. At the time of, you know, sometimes our understanding of God's need to change. Sometimes the God of the church, God whom we believe, is very different to the God of the Bible. So we need to really have a perspective of God of the Bible. Our imagination of God need to change. God performed many miracles, and ultimately the entire Egyptian army went underwater. They were all destroyed. What a price they had to pay. God made a path even in and through the sea. And God shepherded them through Moses and Aaron. So historical understanding, even your own historical understanding, must lead to a better understanding of God. I mean, think of our past. Think of the past. Think of our forefathers who founded this nation on the understanding of the holiness of God, on the doctrine of God. The psalmist had to look beyond his emotions to understand the meaning of life, its challenges, its spiritual realities. We need to look beyond our emotions. In the light of his thinking, Asaph's spiritual balance seemed to have recovered, because he applied thinking into with emotion, and now there is a balance. Emotion alone is not enough, and thinking alone is also not enough. We also need to be emotional so that our thinking gets better. So his confidence in God has been restored, and he has come out of spiritual darkness, of brooding over difficulties, tragedies, as we see in verse 1. He has moved into light, and that is the proper understanding of God. Light means he has now a proper understanding of God, as we see in verse 10 to 20. I like to call it a cognitive awakening. Psalmist had a cognitive awakening, and he came out of this misery of emotional discharge, emotional charge that he had. He had to wake up from his emotional feelings. Asaph has moved from emotional experience of God to a cognitive understanding of God. When we worship God, emotions are necessary. At the same time, a cognitive understanding of God, who this God is also very important. The lesson is that our emotion is a great tool for learning if right thinking is applied. Our emotion can be a great tool for learning if right thinking is applied. There is a role of emotion in our mind for better learning. Emotions are needed. So in conclusion, however, what is the final lesson that we can learn from this psalm? When we brood over our sorrow, our grief, our problems, we will be broken. We will be shaken. We will be emotionally broken. But when we have a proper understanding of God, when we have a proper understanding of God, we can sing through the night. We can sing through the night, no matter what happens. No matter what tragedy hits. You know, in conclusion, I would like to say that in Sri Lanka, at Lanka Bible College, we train pastors and leaders who come from different communities, Sinhalese and Tamil. They come together. They live in the same dormitory. You know, knowing God and reconciling people with God is the answer to the problems. Knowing God will always help us to understand the reality of life. So how can we how can we keep our focus on God at times of sorrow and pain? This psalm teaches us how to do that. How can we as a church minister to those people who are dealing with doubt and spiritual matters in their life? This psalm will help us to walk through these individuals who are going through spiritual struggles in their life. What will the society think when they see we Christians are able to rejoice even in times of trouble? In Sri Lanka, we were able to, even through this tragedy, we were able to communicate to the wider world that Christians are able to rise up through this dust. We are able to forgive. We are able to love. We are not people who are charged with hate and emotions. It is all because of our understanding of God. And may God bless us all at this time, and thank you for giving me this opportunity.